Blog Talk Radio. Hello, everyone. This is Deborah Lee from A Team of Voices, and you just listened to Metallica. Metallica is an American heavy metal band that was formed in 1981 in Los Angeles, California, by vocalist, guitarist James Hetfield and drummer Lars Ulrich, and has been based in San Francisco for most of the career. The band's fast tempo instrumentals and aggressive musicianship made them one of the founding big four bands of thrash metal, alongside Megadeth, Anthrax, and Slayer. Metallica earned a growing fan base in the underground music community and won critical acclaim with its first five albums. The band's third album, Puppet Master, was described as one of the heaviest and most influential thrash metal albums. Their fifth album, Metallica, in 1991, is the band's first to root predominantly in heavy metal, appealing to more mainstream audiences and achieving substantial commercial success, selling over 16 million copies in the U.S. to date. For that album, the song Nothing Else Matters is a ballad about being honest with your feelings and expressing them. Great song, great album, awesome group. And again, this is A Team of Voices Radio. We are a radio group, writing group, that hangs out at allpoetry.com. And they have free memberships if you'd like to join. And if you do, check out the group's page and come knock on the door and check us out. If you're already there, just click the field for groups and come knock on the door of A Team of Voices. I am not quite sure where my partner in crime and Big Brother Hatter is, but for the moment, I've already got quite a few people in the studio. We have Liquid Damage, a.k.a. Linda. And hi, Linda. Glad you're here.
Hi, Deb. I don't have a lot of time tonight, but I'll hang out for a little bit.
Okay. I'm glad you're here. You sound a little off. I hope you must not be feeling well. I hope you feel
well.
Better
I broke
quick.
My foot Saturday, so
ow.
I'm a little under. Yeah, ow.
Ow, ow, ow.
It's amazingly painful to break a foot.
I bet, hon. I'm sorry to hear that. Wow.
That's okay. Thank you very much.
I hope it heals quickly and the pain ceases really fast. And
me
Hatter,
too.
Hey.
Thanks, sweetheart.
Glad you're here.
Hey, hey, hey.
And I have David Prophet in the studio. Hello, David. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Deb. Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Glad you're here. And right by David is Wayne Gent. Hi, Wayne. Welcome to the show.
Hey, you doing tonight? Great to be
all
here.
Right.
Dave, Heather, Linda.
How's the itch?
Hey, Wayne.
Oh, it's pretty good. Yeah, I think it's pretty good.
Yeah. You all covered in pink calamine lotion?
Oh, well, I need to be. My arm's all broke out like poison ivy. I don't know how I got poison ivy this time of year, but it's got my old arm somewhere or another. So I got out there messing around too early, I reckon.
But well, the weather's
life.
Not quite
I
sure what to do ever, so you never know when things
gonna
might
like,
happen.
We're going to be 78 degrees, I think, tomorrow.
Yeah, and then give
wow.
it 2 or 3 days and it'll be freezing, you know?
Yeah, it's freezing that night for us, it's freezing. That's amazing.
All right, well, let me get this going because I have one that I already have on the board to start with, and then we'll get Linda's on because she's in agony and I don't want her to suffer. Now, the poem on the board is by Heavenly Angel, and I believe, unbeknownst to her, Sky made a sound clip for her and read the song. And I'm going to push play now as soon as you guys tell me that you see the poem.
That's it.
Okay, here we go.
25 Years by Heavenly Angel.
walking barefoot upon sandy beach pathway, I was collecting seashells that summer day. Tangerine sun was blazing, creating rays upon the ocean waters, glittering like the rarest jewels in myriad colors. Remembering back to that day leaves me enveloped in thoughts sweeter than honeycomb. It was the day I first gazed upon his face. He was lying on a blanket, soaking up the liquid gold sunshine, a bronze Adonis, sheared in sweat. My breath caught in my lungs. He was beautifully handsome, triggering the warmest of sensations as crimson lava heat deep within. So many thoughts and emotions swirling like multiple Category 5 hurricanes. I would have moved mountains to gaze into his eyes, to taste his kiss, to be held within his arms. Oh, that summer day, years ago, we remember so sweetly now, as we toast to 25 years of love and poem.
What a beautiful read. Thank you, Skye. If I'm this excited over the recording, I bet Angel's blown away. And the poem, I love how it starts off walking barefoot on the sandy beach. I'm barefoot all the time, but my favorite place to be barefoot is on the beach. I was collecting seashells that summer day, and the tangerine sun was blazing, creating rays upon the ocean waters, glittering like the rarest jewels in myriad colors. Just the first stanza is a gorgeous, gorgeous description of the beach and what she sees around her. And where's that? Towards the end, there are so many thoughts and emotions swirling like multiple Category 5 hurricanes. Wow. That's kind of a brilliant metaphor right there, swirling like multiple, not just one, multiple Category 5 hurricanes. I mean, if you're going to get slammed with emotions, why shouldn't they be beautiful emotions that come from kisses and hugs and another powerfully loving and romantic write and a beautiful read. And let me get some comments here. David, what did you think?
Well, you know, last night I was over on LCN and somebody read one of Angel's poems over there, and she is the past master of romantic poetry, I think. Man, this gal can write, and I enjoyed it. I enjoyed that one, and then I enjoyed this one very much too. I think it's beautiful the way she writes. She has a really unique way of corralling all her thoughts and conveying what she's feeling inside into her poetry. I think it was a beautiful poem.
Great comment. And Wayne, what did you think?
Okay, here I am. Okay, this is a wonderful tribute to the anniversary of her and her lover. It's a love poem from Heavenly, which is all, she always has great love poems. Like they were saying, she's one of the best there is. And she always carries so much love and emotion in her poems. It makes you feel warm after you read it or you hear it read. And Skye did a great job with the read. It was just an amazing read. And I like the little part she said. I would have moved mountains to gaze into her eyes, to taste his kiss, to be held within his arms. That's just so romantic. You can't get no better than that. She did a great job with the poem and with the words, and it was good all the way through. I loved it.
Awesome comment. I totally agree. Our queen of love and romance. And Linda, can you comment for Heavenly Angel and then read your poem for us, please?
Sure. Angel usually brings it on in the romance section. I think this was really lovely, and what a tribute to her partner. I think this had great imagery in it and just was very lovely all the way through. I was very impressed, and I too like this, the so many thoughts and emotions swinging like the multiple category 5 hurricanes. I thought that was very cool, but she did a great job on this. Thanks, Angel.
Awesome comments, everyone. Thanks so much. And Linda, yours is on the board, so go ahead and read for us, please.
Okay. I'm going to have to find it.
And while we wait for her dinosaur to reload for her, I just thought I would tell everyone that
I got
tomorrow
it.
There you go.
Go
okay.
Ahead.
Please take us away.
Okay. This is called The Wind. Who am I? I pondered as I walked along barefoot on the metaphysical pathway. Who am I? I didn't leave a footprint. So I pondered once again. I am the wind. I started in the mountains as a breeze where I carried a kaleidoscope of butterflies gently around to drink the nectar of the violets and daffodils. I am the wind. I soar in the meadows, blowing the green grasses this way and that way so it looks like the tidewater in the ocean. I am the wind. Who summons up great hurricanes, I pull large trees out of the soil by their roots and toss them away like toothpicks. I am the wind who blows gently on the beaches, blowing through the sandcastles that are made by brilliant children with seashells and seaweeds to make them stronger. I am the wind who blows out to sea to thrust your grand sailboats across the oceans. I am the wind in poem.
Fantastic job. I like that you wrote it from the perspective of being the wind. Who am I? I pondered as I walked along barefoot. You know, it's funny how, although, it was a word bank, but you guys have become such pros at just blending these words in. And coming up with these incredible pieces and totally making me forget. And it was actually the word barefoot that snapped me back into the fact that there was a word bank at all. And I like all the many different ways I am the wind. Carried a kaleidoscope of butterflies gently around to drink the nectar off the violets and daffodils. And I can picture the butterfly flitting around, and I am the wind who summons up great hurricanes. I pull large trees out of soil by their roots and toss them. So it's like the good and the bad and everything in between, and we're back to the beach where there are seashells and seaweed. And the repeat of I am the wind is like pushing it along and waiting to find out the next reason that you are the wind, and then ending with I am the wind. So I think that you did an amazing job with your word bank.
Thank you, Deb.
And it was a great story, just like it always is. And I think you did fabulous. Let me get you some comments.
Thank you.
Hatter, what did you think?
Yeah, just a thought, a suggestion. I think I love the stanzas in there, especially the one that you picked out, tasting the nectar of the violet when the wind blows and the daffodil. You can see the pollen pop up in the sky that the wind's tasting it. I think that's a great metaphor where you should go a little more powerful in the beginning and end up with the tasting the nectar of violet daffodils. Just my own opinion. I love the way it was structured. I just thought
Thank you.
You went out with the hurricane more towards the front and ending with the softness of the wind would be a great.
Thank you, Hatter. Thank you very much.
Great comment. And Wayne, what did you think?
All right, I made it. All right, this is a very poetic way to describe yourself as the wind. It has wonderful flow, and from the mountains down to the blowing sailboats across the ocean, it's a nice and nice little breezy poem. And I like the way you said the sandcastles that are made from by brilliant children with seashells and seaweed to make them strong. It's just it's just good all the way through. You had the kids in it, you had the violence in it, and you had the hurricane in it, and you had it going across the water and on top of the mountains. So the wind was getting around quite a bit, and it's very good poem. This I liked it a whole lot. Had a lot of motion in it. Good job.
Thank you, Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome comment. And Dave, what did you think?
Well, I really like this. I think she did a really good job in the personification of the wind. There's something magical about it. When I was flying hang gliders, you get the glider up next to this cliff, and especially in the summertime, and you could feel the air rushing up this cliff, and you could feel it would lift the glider up in the air. And there was something, I don't know what it was, it's intangible, but you could feel some sort of a entity in the wind, almost like a magical spirit or whatever you want to call it. And then you just step off the end of the great by, and away the glider would pull you right up off the ground and flying around like that. And it was just magical. And, as far as the power of the wind goes, it obeys what they call the inverse square law, which means that if the wind velocity increases just a little bit, the force of the wind goes up at the square of the velocity. So a little bit of increase in velocity equals a lot of force. And so I just thought I'd throw that in there for the hell of it. But I thought the poem was really well done. And I'm glad you did it in a free verse too, and I think you did really well with that. So
well, thanks,
the whole thing
Dave.
Is cool. Yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you very much, Dave.
Yeah.
Awesome comments, everyone. And Linda, I don't know how long you'll be able to hang tight, but if you have to hang up, I understand. And I hope you don't stay in pain too long.
Yeah, I'm gonna go take a pain pill right now and lie down. So. Thank you guys for letting me read my poem so quickly, and I miss you guys all. See you guys soon.
All right.
Take care, Linda.
You're well, Linda.
Yeah,
okay, thanks
quickly.
A lot.
Thank you for calling. Great poem.
Bye-bye.
Okay, now if you guys click on the next link while Sky's on the board, I will play her poem. Do you see it?
Yep. Ooh, I like that
picture.
Okay, here we go. That Flower Blooms of the Tokolosh by Sky Darkholm. Knock but thrice on zebra wood tree in the woodland of old African descent, and you will find the ground collapse, a path composed of jewel-studded roots reaching with bare feet like vines of bone. A thousand splintered sparrows, partially exhumed, grown over with the soil of rot and moss, as glints of opal moonstones catch sunlight. On either side are green mountain guards, painted with fallen yellowwood fern pine, a crown of tall stalk shade and dragon snaps, monkey puzzle branch, and baobab trunk. And if you're taken by the drums and hums that toss chants out into the wind, carrying you further still, you will find a hidden entry of castle stones, ribboned in lavender leaves and copper slats. Stark is entry here, black pitches of bat flower blooms, where the Tokolosh dwell. End poem.
Wow, gorgeous, gorgeous poem. I these are the kind of pictures that I see, and they have Sky's name all over them, and I hold them and hold them, and I love the fact that even if she can't call at a particular time, she tucks it away and then surprises me with IOU poems, and this is one of those. I think that the story and imagery is great. The zebra wood tree, just the thought of that is quite a beautiful image. And I like reaching with bare feet like vines of bone, a thousand splintered sparrows partially exhumed. That's a little bit, it's like sad mixed with history, or I don't know if that's the right word, history, but it's really incredible wording. And the glints of opal moonstones catch sunlight. So the breathtaking imagery throughout this keeps you engrossed in every word, all the way down to the rhinestone and lavender leaves and copper slats. You can almost smell lavender in the air. And the closing line, where the Tokoloths dwell, I probably said that wrong, but that's okay, is like lucky them in so many ways, because it's like a little palace in the middle of the woods, and you can see the grand once upon a time entrance there. So I think this is quite brilliant. And then at the bottom, she tells us that these are endangered trees and plant life of Africa. So then she lists them for us with dragon trees and monkey puzzle trees, and it's like, wow, what a breathtaking way to educate us on these plants that are endangered, and I haven't heard of them, and here they're already endangered. And how's that? I mean, I've seen pictures of animals that I never knew existed, and they're already extinct or close to it. Like this plant life and vegetation that she threaded in this story. So I love that it's what I would call, I try to use the word advocacy because Sky likes that word better, but I tend to call it the soapbox poetry. But I think that this is absolutely brilliant. And I've said it before, but Sky, I love when you bring the IOUs. Keep them coming. Hatter, what do you think?
First, let's chat about that picture.
Yeah, you like that, huh?
I really do. Sky writes beautifully. I mean, I'm taking nothing away from the right. But in order to, I think it's important to, I wonder if she, did she write to the picture, I'm assuming?
Yeah, it's one I had given her before. I give her poems that I hope to, photos that I hope to inspire her, and she tucks them away. She's already confessed to having a folder full of my prompts, and they're always so worth waiting for. I never know what she might bring, and I always remember the photos, though, when she pulls them out, because there are a couple, to be honest, that I debated back and forth whether to give to you or to her, because you both really like these. But there was something about this one that I sent it to her instead, and I love that she turned it into advocacy for the plants. Just one more thing that we have at risk because of humans,
What do you think that structure is? I'm looking at it as the back door to a castle. If you zoom in on it, the two little windows that are up at the towards the top of each side, they look like keyholes, not windows. Which is.
Yeah, it does look like a turret of some sort, or an underground castle thing. I don't know. Yeah, it does. I agree.
And that inner door shell, it looks metallic.
Mhm. Yeah, like it'll drop down.
Is that a path? That's to me, it looks like the running water out of the castle. How you would drainage through it, but also a back entrance. That's a fascinating picture. like to know the history of it.
Yeah, yeah. Back to, really grabbed me, too.
Back to the right, yeah, the zebra wood tree right off the bat. I had the same image. I'd like to see that. Yeah, it just writes so well. Every time you read something else in there.
Awesome comment, Hatter. And Wayne, what did you think?
I said, this is lovely and very educational. The different types of trees is wonderful, and the poem is magical. I like the stanza where she says, and if you're taken by the drums and hums and toss chants out in the wind, carrying you farther still. This guy's got me kind of daydreaming with that little stanza. Kind of put you asleep and got you daydreaming. It's a beautiful read, soft and touching, and the love of trees is just great. And I did a great job and a wonderful poem. I like it a whole lot.
Excellent comment. And yes, I did notice that, Sky. Right after I finished my comment, I realized that she even used the word bank in this one, but again, so brilliantly that I didn't even recognize it until I was done commenting. So it's like, you guys blow me away night after night after night. Dave Prophet, will you comment for Sky while I get your link?
Yes, I would love to. Hatter, if you look down to the sixth stanza there, it says, you will find a hidden entry of castle stones ribboned in lavender leaves and copper slats. So I, too, thought it looked like a castle entrance. I was really taken with this banner picture here. I thought it was really good. Sky is such a marvelous writer, and she has such a gentle soul, and it's sticks out all over this poem. I just thought this was beautiful. I loved it. I could listen to her read this sort of stuff all night long. Anyway, that's what I think about it.
Awesome comment, Dave. And your poem is on the board, so show us what you got.
Okie doke. Well, Deb, you've been the one to comment on The Dark Mother more than anybody else, I guess. And I don't know where you found this picture, but I did not have this one of her. And when you sent it to me, I was just stoked. I mean, I want to collect more of her if I can. And I don't really care for the poem or the title very much, but it is what it is. So it's called The Dark Mother, An Introduction. So it came to pass in the year of our Lord 2021, my introduction of the Dark Mother to everyone. Cosmic in her beauty to mere words outrun. Her binary black hole space-time shotgun, its smoking muzzle of cotton candy and gunpowder. Diameter dosage is even louder, her renditions of every woman that ever was. Quintessential poetess of the cosmos, because she is all things to me. She longs to see what it is to be human through her 700 nanometer lumen. Her assassin's cologne caresses my nose from the space-time curvature of her toes. Photons racing beneath ebony undertoes, dark matter skin coronas in licorice glows. For I fear I have become her bow, her crushed darkness overflows. She loves me with the fury of Sirius, her eyes in 532 nanometer Sirius. Tears when we're not together, elixirs of her blue-shifted interstellar weather. She sings in long-wave RF ululations, her love for me, these incantations. Her rhyme and meter in periwinkle synchronicity to the Lord's time signatures inside his canonicity. She sings to the stars in red-shifted intimacy, all the while she makes love to me. Her quasars funnel inside cap bottles, lanterns casting her light inside black holes, red shifting from gold into mahogany poison, blue shifted infinity inside the singularity's prison. David, I love you, my man. Only you truly understand what's inside my heart, still simplistic from its start. Her dark energy lips, asynchronous mesmerizing hips, struts her stuff in megaparsecs, eddies whirling in stardust codec. You like what you see, my man? Soft laughter and octave undertows. She's a quick study of humanity, her flowing dark mane in starlit vanity. I love her so. End poem.
understand, Dave. I almost feel like she's real. Like, she's been, as strange as this sounds, she's been in my life for years now, and even more so in yours.
I know, yeah.
I mean, she's taken us on adventures. We recognize her scent. We recognize the overwhelming emotion that she pulls out of you. I would lay money down that you dream of this chick. Just saying. let me see here. Her assassin's cologne caresses my nose. I like that, assassin's cologne. What was that? Fear I have become her bow. Her crushed darkness overflows. She loves me with the fury of Sirius. Her eyes in 532 nanometer. What's that?
Sirius, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't remember what it means right off the top of my head. It's relevant.
Okay, so it's not just me.
It's
okay,
relevant,
cool.
So I didn't just shotgun it in it. Yeah.
And then in one more stanza down, there's such a sadness, tears when we're not together, elixirs of her blue-shifted interstellar weather. Just the thought of you crying when she's not there. I mean, so many nuances in this that and you said you didn't like the title, but I kind of like the fact that it's sort of a complete circle, take us back to the beginning and give us an introduction. It has like, you know how Star Wars did that, where we're here and then they take us back? It had that kind of a feel. But like I said, your genuine, not concern, but your genuine attachment to this character that you created always oozes off the page, Dave. Now, I have a question. Did you frame that? Because I don't remember it having a frame on it when I sent it.
Yeah, I did.
That looks really cool.
With this pic. Yeah, well, I could do that for you if you want me to on some of your poetry. It's no big deal. You do it in Photoshop, and it's real simple. It only takes a few 30 seconds to do it. And you can make this thing like it'll fold into the page or stick out. If you notice, the inside, the picture that you sent me is a negative. It's going into the page, and then the framework on the outside of it's coming out. I think it's kind of fun to do that, you know.
Yeah, no, and it looks excellent. And I was pretty sure that I had never saw one it's like you can look into her eyes in the background and get a closer shot. There's just something about it. I was so excited when you said no, that you didn't have it, because, you know, at this point I figured it would be really hard to stumble across something Dark Mother-ish that you hadn't already seen. But there was no way I could scroll by that and not grab it just in case. So,
let me explain something here a little bit. If you come down to 1, 2, 3, the third stanza, it says, "She is all things to me. She longs to see what it is to be human through her 700 nanometer lumen." 700 nanometers is red. It's right on the threshold of infrared and red. And now when you come down here, and I put her eyes in the female part of it. Those are red, and then the eyes behind her are green. And so I thought, well, okay, when she's experiencing humanity, then she's going to be green. So her eyes are going to be green. So it says, "For I fear I become her bow, her crushed darkness overflows. She loves me with the fury of Sirius. Her eyes in 532 nanometers, Sirius." 532 nanometers is green. That's the wavelength of green. And so I thought, well, okay, maybe I'll get a chance to explain this. But this way, the eyes behind her are when she's human, and then when she's in her normal Queen of the Universe mode, her eyes are red. You can just barely see it in the picture. If you blow it up, you can see it. That's all.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
So, Hatter, what did you think?
Yeah, I love it when Dave hits on his poem. He gets to throw those nanometers and the boost shift and red shift. I catch some of those right off, and I know you throw those in there. But to take something like you just described, there are things that we, with our own brains, are unable to conceive in its own descriptions. Dave is able to put numbers to it. So it's like you're another you're listing and categorizing something that's basically impossible to certain people to even conceive exists. I find that brilliant when you do that. It puts a smile on my face. You do it well.
Oh, thank you, brother. I appreciate that. That really means a lot to me when I hear that.
Awesome comment. And Wayne, what did you think?
Well, this is some queen you gave there, Dave. She's pretty awesome. And the complex terminology is wonderful that you're using this. And you depicted her wonderfully in her being in love with you is a good touch. Y'all make a good couple. Best of luck to you both in the future. I like it when you said she's all things to me. She longs to see what it is to be human through her 700 nanometer lumen. That you kind of brought her to life and made her human in this poem because she's y'all are pretty much like almost like lovers. It's a great job and great poem and as entertaining as hell. Good job.
Thank you, Wayne. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Awesome comment. Thank you, everyone. And if you would click on Kay's poem, I have a SoundCloud from her as well. You guys see it?
Yep.
Here we go.
Yep.
25 Years by Heavenly Angel. Deceptions of Nature's Friction by Kay. Digitalized happen stokes a mist. Hazes from cherry red lips blaze in the guarded smile. Silent drop of salted measurement on earth, the honeycomb's truth. Russian of slights whiles the hands of not soil in the tide water desensitized. Breezes of blister and lavender courts the pathway. Barefoot in lucidity, her veil lace in Mother Earth's roots. Thistles of hurricanes trigger and lover. Her hand a branch banded in eternity by his. As a greenery upon earth trembles under the weight of a rain-soaked leaf, charred and lava ripples as the lady in black, rolling on the fields of wheat patches, barren of grains. Shoaled in rays of nectarine turquoise, her charm is her flight of death, monsoon and land. End poem.
Wow. Deceptions of Nature's Friction. I love that title, Nature's Friction. Right from the very first sentence, digitalized tapping strokes the mist, hazing from cherry red lips, blazing the gnarled smile, guarded smile. That right there, excuse me, the images there of the cherry red lips and the blazing smile is perfect for this photo. And let me see, where's that? Breezes of blistering lavender quartz the pathway. Blistering lavender. Now, there's another phrase that I've never heard put together, blistering lavender, but yet it works because I would imagine that if it was cooked in lava, that the smell would be amazing before it got to the burn smell. So blistering lavender is really powerful there. And where's that? Charred in lava ripples is the lady in black rolling on the fields of wheat patches, barren of grains. So the deep, dark, powerful images in here are one of her trademarks. That and the brilliant use of phrasing that she always has. And I'm noticing that this is a front page pick 2 days ago. I love when I see that happen to the poems for the show, for the radio show. So congrats on that, Kay. Another brilliant poem filled with, I mean, sometimes I'm in awe of the way you decide to pair the words or come up with the metaphors and phrasing that nobody else does. That's a sign of, really, really great poetry when it's not, there's no cliches. It's just stone cold, in your face, amazing imagery. So great job. thank you for writing. Thank you for the sound clip. And I'll see you later at the Mortuary of Shadows at 11 tonight. And they have some really great photos of Baby Grimm. I wrote for the show, but I also grabbed a couple of them. I'm in the middle of a second poem. I was so taken by this artist. So looking forward to that. And back to this awesome poem. Let me get some comments. Hatter. 1 second,
Hello.
Hatter. Hi, Frank. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, I can have the passion right now.
Okay. Frank, are you there? Maybe you're muted, but I can't hear you. All right, let me go to Wayne and get a comment for Kay, please.
Okay. This is wonderful depiction of the lady in blazing, the lady with blazing guarded smile. I like the all the way through, and I like the phrase, especially rolling on the fields of wheat patches bearing of grains. Congratulations on the front page pick. This is definitely worth it and worth the recognition. It's a, and a great sound. Found you read it very well, and it's entertaining all the way through, and I like it. Good job on this, Kay.
Great comment. And Dave Poppert?
Yeah, I agree with what everybody said about this. I Kay just blows me away with the way she words things and her pairing and stuff. I like this last line in the first stanza here. It says, breezes of blistering lavender. That was cool. I like what you had to say about it, Deb. And then the last part of that, quartz the pathway. So, you know, quartz is made out of, high temperatures and a lot of pressure. And that's a good way of producing this pathway, I guess. If you blow up this picture and look at it, her dress looks like these burning ambers that we see, you know, in campfires and wood stoves and whatnot. And the colors that are used in it are really stunning. And she outlines those colors really well in this poem. Charred in lava ripples is the lady in black, you know, rolling on the fields of wheat patches barren of grains. Wow, nectarine turquoise, her charm in her flight of death, monsooning land. God, this is really a cool poem. Really well done, Kay. I think you outdid yourself with this one.
Awesome comment. Thank you. And Frank, welcome back. Is it just me? Does anybody else hear Frank?
I don't hear him.
No.
I think he's on hold. He's probably eating pizza.
Let me try putting him on hold and bringing him back out again to see if that helps. Mute. And open again. Frank? Wow, I wonder what's up with that. I can't hear you at all, Frank. That's so strange.
He might step up with his dog.
He had hung up and dialed back, and he said he could hear me, but I couldn't hear him at all either time. Damn.
My son.
Yeah, it's a bummer I don't know, it's not really anything I can try. Just seems like I can't get him in here. Darn. Nothing's helping. I don't know what to try, Frank. It won't. I can't hear you.
What's up, Frank? He can hear us. Hey, Frank. I hear him a little bit in the background. I heard something in.
Yeah, he says he's on hold and he can hear us. All right, let me do it again. Put him back on hold.
Hey, right now he said he can hear all of us. Frank, call back in.
Tell me on the board, are you hearing that little beep that says I opened your line?
He's going to call, try to call back. He's going to call back in.
You can
hear
the beep,
trunk.
Too. That's so strange because he can hear us and it's opening all right, but it just, I can't hear him, period.
That's the way the phone word is.
Yeah.
One-way data.
It's a bummer. All right, let me see here. Maybe you could try again, Frank. I don't know what the heck's going on. All right, let me see here. The next, we have Phil and then Wayne's poem, so let me grab Phil's link. And I'm very excited because he sent in a sound the other night, excuse me, and it was fantastic to hear him read. And now I've noticed that since then he's sending them to the show, so I think that's great. Phil, when you listen, I just want you to know that we all appreciate the sound because it's really, really incredible to hear you read your own poem when you have a great reading voice. So if you guys would click on Phil's poem, I will push his sound clip.
I get it.
This is a poem by Phil the Poet called Atlantis Awakens. The ambassador of the waves sends his daughter to the world enveloped in the four scarlet breezes. Barefoot, she treads softly on the monsoon-kissed pathway, leaving footprints of honeycomb quartz in her wake. Wearing a flowing gown of seaweed and emerald green, a seashell crown adorns her cobalt locks of enchantment, beautifully decked in jewels of opal and moonstone. With elegance, she steps upon the soil of blazing beaches. A hurricane gathers between two different worlds, triggering a stinging icicle composed of lava leaves, blistering her eyes with a crimson thistle flame. She longs for the castles of Atlantis dwelling below. She finds herself in an orchard beyond the mountains. The sun burns a strange yellow before her gaze. Kaleidoscope of tangerine dreams shows a true beauty within the roots of a daffodil guarded by a bumblebee. The evening comes, the flaming orb dips into a turquoise ocean. Gripping the nectar-filled orchard between her teeth, she leaps over the tide water that leads to a violet waterway. Flexible as a rubber, she disappears underneath a bleeding moon. End poem.
Wow. Great voice, right? Atlantis Awakens. I love the title. I don't even know which one to pick. I'll go in the middle. A hurricane gathers between two different worlds, triggering a stinging icicle composed of lava leaves, blistering her eyes with a crimson thistle flame. She longs for the castles of Atlantis dwelling below. I think there's some really original phrasing here as well. Crimson thistle flame. The stinging icicle composed of lava leaves. Now, lava leaves, they're something that you don't hear much either. So I think that he used some quite clever, original wording. And at the end, I love the last two lines. She leaps over the tidewater that leads to a violet waterway, flexible as rubber. She disappears underneath a bleeding moon. But the violet waterway just sounds so beautiful. But I can't emphasize enough how incredible his voice is. And Phil, I am absolutely thrilled. Keep the sounds coming because it's amazing. Not that any of us mind reading for you. We're always honored to do so, but it's really, really amazing to hear you read yourself. Brilliant, brilliant piece. Let's try this again. Frank! Try muting and unmuting your phone.
Hello.
Frank. Hi. That's what it was.
Frank.
I just heard him. What happened? I'm mute again. I heard you say hello. Now you're gone again.
Hello.
There you
hello.
Are. Okay.
The problem
can you
is
hear
that
me
I have
still?
To put, I have to put, yes, but I have to put you on speaker.
Ah.
Mm.
That's that happened to me one time. I had to what do you call it, reboot my phone, you know, just turn it all the way off and then turn it back on again, and it was better. But that's happened to me before. But don't do it now because I want to be able to hear you. Let me get some comments for Phil. Hatter, are you back?
But can you hear me?
Yes. Can you still hear me?
Yeah, I hear you too, Frank.
Yes, on speaker. I hear you just on speaker only.
Okay. All right.
You sound real clear. You're
Hatter
clear.
Hatter must not be back.
Hello?
So, Wayne, will you please comment for Phil?
I'll do this. I can. I hadn't got it quite finished yet, but this is a lovely with the ambassador sent his daughter to the earth to check things out. This is nice how she misses her homeland, and she has a hurricane gathering between the two worlds. When she comes to, she's in an orchard beyond the mountains. It's just this is she, he covers everything in this poem, and it's great phrasing, great wording, and I enjoyed it all the way through. And I hadn't picked out the one I wanted to quote yet, but I'm gonna do that here in just a second. But it's a very good poem, and I enjoyed it a lot. Phil, great job, great read too. I love your voice.
Right. Great comment. And Dave Puppet.
Okay. Yeah, I really like this poem. Kind of reminds me of some of my mermaid stuff. But, boy, this is really, really picturesque, and it's got a really good storyline to it. It's really interesting. Holds your attention really well all the way through. Never gets boring for a microsecond. It's got this kind of an aura about it, an old mariner's tale or something, maybe that kind of haunting ideas about mermaids and the sea and everything that's in there. And a lot of, you know, we all know how beautiful the sea is, and things that come out of it are usually pretty good, pretty nice, you know, pearls and all that other stuff, and some of the fish and whatnot. And I don't know. I like the last stanza a lot. The evening comes, the flaming orbs dip into a turquoise ocean. Gripping the nectar-filled orchard between her teeth, she leaps over the tidewater that leads to a violet waterway, flexible as river. She disappears underneath a bleeding moon. Wow. Gosh. Oh, man. You know, when the moon gets down close to the horizon on the ocean, it almost looks like it's bleeding into it sometimes, you know, due to the diffraction on the surface of the ocean and its reflection of the moon. And this is really, really a cool poem. I really enjoyed this a lot.
Awesome comment. And Frank, will you comment for Phil while I go get Wayne's poem?
Yes, I wasn't able to hear everything because of what was going on. I was able to read it afterwards. I thought it was, I agree with what you said right now. This was just a magnificent narrative and usage of word bank, and I thought the metaphors were excellent and the diction likewise. I think he has a style of writing, though, Phil, that emphasizes a lot of deep ruminative thoughts here when he attaches them to his poems. There's always a moral as well, I find, that encompasses his pieces. So I thought he did a masterful job with this piece. And, of course, Atlantis is always an intrigue to all of us.
For sure. Yeah, I agree. Okay, now let me see. Great comments. Again, thank you, Phil. And I have Wayne's poem up there. And Wayne, another 10. That's amazing. I'm really excited for you. And I also see that it made it to the front page. Congratulations. Yeah. I'm so looking forward to hearing it. So take us away.
Oh, that's it. It's called Nature's Conscious. And it goes like this here. Mother Nature's ambassador breezes across composed leaves. Her hair hangs like scarlet seaweed beneath a canopy of trees. Walks daffodil pathway barefoot, triggering honeycomb roots, while our crimson orchard performs dances to the opal quartz playing flutes. Yellow-striped bumblebee guarded orchard nectar-stinging invaders, while the maiden's footprints in moonstone soil rejected the thistle persuaders. As she is gripping lavender jewels against her tangerine skin, the cobalt sky enveloped mountains with monsoon setting in. Beaches blazing from blistering of the sun telescopic rays, arid waterways now violet from the hurricane pouring rain for days. Tidewater and surges like turquoise lava scrubbing seashells, leaving icicle grooves for the rubber raft of castle dwells. In short and sweet.
Wow. Well, as far as I can tell, it's usually harder to get a 10 the less words you use. So even more kudos. Just 105 words. I love the way you used your word bank. Back a little bit. Nature's Monsoon Quenches. Awesome, awesome title, Nature's Monsoon. Because if you look at that picture, there's so many beautiful flowers and green vegetation that it is sort of like a monsoon of nature. So I really love the title. Mother Nature's ambassador breezes across composed leaves. Her hair hangs like scarlet seaweed. And it does. Your use of the word bank is quite incredible here. And walking on the daffodil pathway barefoot. Well, what a beautiful image because like daffodils, they're so beautiful and yellow and honeycomb roots. And I mean, I could just keep going with this incredible yellow striped bumblebees guarded orchard nectar, stinging invaders. I mean, absolutely no idea that this was some kind of a word bank where you were forced to use words because you did such a brilliant job of threading them together. And then towards the at the end there, leaving icicle grows where rubber raft from castle dwells. It's easy to see why this one was chosen for the front page. It's absolutely excellent, Wayne. You never cease to amaze night after night, week after week, all of you.
I love the word bank.
I have never put together so many in my life, but everybody is having such a great time with them. The word banks are producing so many tens that I just try to keep them coming until somebody says, oh, another word bank, and then maybe there's a birdhouse show coming up a bird show coming up that doesn't have a word bank because I want you to just concentrate on the particular bird that you get. But I've been trying to build them with colors and great words so that if I can have a little bit of input getting you those tens, it makes me feel good. So this is brilliant, Wayne.
I appreciate your word bank.
I'm happy, and you're doing a bang-up job with them. No question about that. Dave Prophet, start with you.
Oh, thank you. I really like this poem. I like the way you Wayne used the words, the word bank and the way he put it together. It's got a really fascinating storyline to it. And I like the couple of the lines in the last stanza. Beaches blazing from blistering of the sun's kaleidoscope rays, arid waters ways now violet from hurricanes pouring rain for days, tidewater insurged like turquoise lava scrubbing seashells, leaving icicle groves where rubber rafts form from castle dwells. Wow. It's really, really interesting. You did the prompt justice too. And, Congratulations on a front page pick, by the way.
Yeah, it's looking at that one, too. Thank you there, Dave.
You're welcome.
Awesome comment. And Frank, will you comment for Wayne, please?
Yes, this is obviously, first of all, I have to applaud him as well for his accomplishment here. It's not an easy task there to be consistent and get the front page. And I've seen Wayne numerous times, I would say, and I do have to commend on that. It's not an easy task. As for the poll, my friend, this was just you just have a wonderful knack of structure in your pieces here. And, of course, you keep that rhyming scheme there to perfection there. This piece here was just exuded with enchantment here. It had this wonderful display of metaphors here and the usage of the word bank. And I thought this was the inspiration to the prompt about the prompt itself was very palpable in this piece here, Wayne. I think you did a grand perfection here in using the prompt as your inspiration and displaying it in such a masterful way, I would say.
Wow. Well, thank you, Frank. That's great. Great comment. I appreciate that.
Are you open?
Awesome comment. And before you read, Frank, let's say hello to the Queen of Canada. Hey, sir.
Lady A.
Hello, everybody.
Lady A.
How are you?
Here.
Lady A.
Hello there, Lady A.
I'm just hearing the tail end of the last thing, but I just realized that I wrote a great poem for April.
Yeah, I was just going to say you wrote for the wrong thing. Yeah.
I did the same thing, Lady A. I did the same thing.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Well, why don't you put this on that board and just grab something to read, and you can read the last poem. Does that work?
Okay, I do have one on the elements, so I'll try to find that. It doesn't have the same word bank.
Okay,
but...
and then put this one over on the puppet show. But you didn't choose a puppet to go with it. How come?
Oh, I put the quote on as a picture, didn't I? Okay, I'll change that because I did pick a puppet. Yes.
Okay, cool. Cool.
Okay.
Okay. All right, Frank. Take us away, please.
Yes. This is, of course, I took the prompt for the picture that's on there, and I was inspired, took as well the word bank as well, perhaps not as proficient as our good friend there, Wayne, but I did give it a start with numerous of words of the word bank here. And I came up with this piece here, which I could not help but go dark in this piece. So this is just my little, I would say, my fiction of a poem based in the Appalachian Mountains, and it's called Creepy Camille, and it goes like this. Within the Appalachian Mountains, beyond the mines of cobalt moonstones, is a haunted mystery enveloped by the pathway of engraved footprints. 'Tis said by the local people of the area, a terrifying specter roams the woodlands, a glittering appearance that spooks those who dare to enter the darkness of hell below the tangerine sun. Where the daffodils once blossomed, a strong breeze brushes the nectar as she walks upon crackling leaves, barefoot, dressed in garments, drenched in crimson blood and indigo paint, buried in a hidden, unknown tomb, composed of the rot soil of the earth, lies a violated body, desecrated sadly by the cold memory of a bloody murder. She lurks amongst the shadows, and if you enter these isolated woods, do with an absolute discretion possible, but know that you do with the utmost peril, for you run the risk of meeting Creepy Camille.
Awesome.
In the form.
The vicious look on her eyes, Creepy Camille, what a perfect title. But the vicious look in her eyes is brought to life throughout your poem. 'Tis said by the local people of the area, a terrifying specter roams the woodlands with a gripping appearance that spooks. Yeah, I agree. It definitely spooks. And where the daffodils once blossomed, the strong breeze brushes the nectar as she walks upon crackling leaves barefoot. So it's another case where you brilliantly threaded this word bank in there and put vivid details, creepy spookiness that brought the story to life and tie it all up with the bow of the laugh at the end. You can't beat that, but the appearance that spooks is really, really striking because it does. I mean, if I had to come face to face with her, I wouldn't be a happy camper because, like, she looks like she's pissed. Just saying. Brilliant imagery, great reads. Always.
We know about the legends. You know, the legends that people, you know, do. They are legends at times that we don't know about, but. I ran to a legend there of the Appalachian Mountains, and I said, well, why not write this piece here?
Awesome. Yeah, well, you absolutely brought the photo to life in full-on color. Fantastic job. Let me go directly to another story poet to get a comment. Dave, what you think? Dave Prophet, are you muted?
Did I scare them off?
Yep, there we go. Sorry about that. I really like this. I like the way you use the Appalachian Mountains. I think there's a lot of lore written about this area. It's rife with superstition and stuff. The colors that you put into this and the adjectives and the metaphors and stuff are really well done, Frank. I my hat's off to you for this. It's a very interesting read. It's got an excellent storyline in it. It's very picturesque. So I'm just going to have to say well done.
Oh, I appreciate that, my friend. I'm sure we all phantom one of these days to meet a creepy canoe somewhere around the woods.
I was married to one for a while.
There we go. Metaphorically speaking.
Oh, awesome comment. And Wayne, what did you think?
I said, wow, this is a great storyline. It's smooth. You used all the word bank to perfection. You can't hardly tell it. We can't tell it. It's a word bank. It is dark but interesting. And the story tells the story as good as it gets. It's the best storytelling I've heard in a long time. And I like what you said. Buried in a hidden unknown tomb, composed of the broth iron or soul of the earth, lies her violated body. That's about as descriptive as you can get. It's this is dark and simply wonderful. I'm not far from the mines or the Appalachian Mountains. So this hits home wonderfully. It reads like you know the mountain people. This is great, and I enjoyed it, Frank. Great job.
There you go, Wayne. Perhaps you'll meet her one of your days.
Oh, I'll pass on that.
All right. Either that or the Banshee.
Oh, yeah. There's some weird people over in the mountains. You got to watch them people over in the mountains. There's all kinds of stuff going on.
Can I just say one brief thing? This is actually really quick. This is actually, I saw a documentary just recently about a family that had murdered. It was a 30-year-old, I think a case that was unsolved. They solved it, and then in the Appalachian Mountains, they found the two victims. They were two young girls after 30 years, and this family, the person who was charged for this and eventually guilty, had committed, the whole family had committed murders, and they were buried in the Appalachian Mountains near the property. So this was a little bit inspired as well to that.
Wow. Makes it creepier, kind of. Right?
You get lost up in the mountains. You can't keep in the mountains. They don't ever find your body up there.
There you go.
Right? And whatever's left, the coyotes will take anyway, right? Hatter, are you back yet?
I got to tell a story if I can, if we have time, before I lose it.
Okay.
No, but if you have time, it coincides with what Wayne has just been saying. I'll wait till he finishes his comments for Frank first, though.
So. I'm through. Go ahead.
I think he did. Yeah, he did.
Oh. Well, what you were saying about the people in Appalachia reminded me of a story. This friend of mine was dating this guy, and he was somewhat strange. No, he was a lot strange. And he came to visit one evening with her, and we got talking about going to Newfoundland, which is a province that's in the Atlantic Ocean and part of Canada. And so he said, "Oh, you don't want to go to Newfoundland?" And I said, "Well, yeah, I'd love to go see Newfoundland." And he said, "Well, you know, if you go there, you won't come home." And I said, "What do you mean?" And he said, "There's cannibals in Newfoundland." I looked at my friend and I thought, "And you're going out with him? Really?" Like, he was seriously serious and so upset that the very thought of anybody going to Newfoundland because they'd be cannibalized. It just made me, it was a little strange.
There you go, lady. There's always some strange mystery back there.
A little strange.
I'd be taking
him.
I wish all of you could have been there and saw him talk about that, because I know my jaw was on the floor, and more so for my friend, because I thought, are you nuts going out with somebody? Like, he was just so outrageous, the stuff that he was saying, it was unreal. And she was just simpering all over him.
Yeah. We'll make sure we go up on those trails, Lady A.
Okay. I'll go with you. I won't be scared.
Okay. You might get scared of me.
Yeah, well, put that laugh at the end and she probably will. Okay, now let's click on Gerald's poem, and then we have Tia, Crystal, and Lady A, and we're out of here. So click on Gerald, please.
Elements, written and read by Gerald Green. Humility has never been my strongest point. It's not that I have chosen to become superior, but fate has placed her mighty hand of gold on everything I do. This blazing fire that rules the world and makes it spin. My stinging force, I must admit, I can't explain, but is, I say, unequaled in its sphere. I hope I'm not misunderstood as vain, but just pragmatic as to who I am. When lightning strikes, or when you start a car, I come to life, consuming what I can, and mimic every distant glowing star. Excuse me, if I also might be given time to speak, while blistering fire gloats on about her heated force, I'd like to add some gripping truth to this discussion by removing doubt regarding my participation in high value. Air, you see, is nature's pathway and is paramount in ranking in the universe's sprawling space. All life exists and thrives on my account. Without my hurricanes and breezes, there would be no need to talk or think about wild claims by this or that. Sustaining life is what I do. I speak ambassadorial truth, although I am no diplomat. Ahem. If I might have a word and help you understand that water takes its place above both air and fire, as they are lightweights. Let me take some time to state my case and help you grasp important facts. It's well established how I'm fire's enemy, how it cannot withstand my strength, and air would desiccate with no humidity, thus showing my importance to reality. My weight displays my power, and I flow where I desire to go as gravity allows to spread across the land. Aha! You three are nothing if not bold, suggesting you're the greatest power around. It's me, you see, who's better than the rest. I'm earth, and dirt makes up this fertile ground. Just touch my soil and feel its texture, smell its minerals, and notice how it looks. My mountains rise like castles in the sky, and valleys form to shape supporting beaches, lakes, and brooks. Without my properties, the universe could not exist, and I, yes, I, prevail with weight and volume, overwhelming all who claim they're more but ultimately fail. Could there be more to say or more to learn about the ranking of these elements? It seems to me the answer is very clear. And what I say with guarded words is right. Makes perfect sense. End poem.
Wow. I think that was one of my favorite reads of his yet. A lot of inflection in his voice to drive this one through. But as amazing as every single stanza is, I was very much taken by the first one. Humility has never been my strongest point. It's not that I've chosen to become superior, but fate has placed her mighty hand of gold on everything I do. Well, Gerald, please send her my way. Just saying. Now, without my hurricanes and breezes, there would be no need to talk or think about wild claims that this or that. Sustaining life is what I do. I speak. I think that the way he tackled each of the elements in this one is really, really quite brilliant. Just touch my soil and feel its texture, smell its minerals, and notice how it looks. Like the descriptions, the feel, and again, the way he read this one. Every single week, every single night, he amazes us. You got a mega, mega fan club going here, Gerald. One of these nights we'll actually get to speak to you live, but in the meantime, that your recordings are always brilliant, your poems are always brilliant, and again, I say, I'm a fan, I'm a fan, I'm a fan. Let me get you some comments, and let me start with Lady A, please.
Well, you know, I thought he was very animated in this recording and very forceful in the characters, each one coming and thinking they're better than the other. And ultimately, in the end, one is all the elements are dependent on each other to survive. So not one is greater than the other, which I thought was, you know, he depicted that very well. And it's like anything in life, you know, we think that one's better, one's higher, one's smarter. You know, we all depend on each other to survive. I thought it was brilliant.
Awesome comment. And Hatter, are you back? I keep checking just
to see. Yes, I am.
One comment for Gerald?
Yeah, this was totally different, and I totally enjoyed it. His own debate within the lines. Blown away the way he read it, the emphasis. Only he could have done that. Wouldn't have been as good if we would have called read it.
Great comment. And Lady A, please.
I just commented.
Pal, I commented and then I called. Okay, I'm just losing it here.
Did anybody hear me? Because I did comment.
I hear you.
Yes.
Franklin, will you comment for Gerald, please? And then I was hoping that you would read Tia. I was also hoping you would read Tia for me after that.
Tila? All right. Tila? All right. I thought this was, obviously, I agree with you. Gerald has a masterful way of, and it's experience, I would say, as well, of just writing these pieces here and to organize them well into a soundtrack, which is not easy. And many of us are perfectionists, and we do tend to go overboard at times, and we do our writings with thumb gloves. This was just a powerful piece with so much relevance and conviction expressed so eloquently. So, I like the elements in the philosophy expressed here. So this was an eloquent piece, I thought, and very much expressed in a way that it encompassed the elements that he referred to as well. I love the emphasis to humility as well, which is always good to start a poem with.
Awesome comment. Thank you much. And I did put Tia's on the board, if you would read that. And then I'll read the crystal.
Just bear with me. Oh, there it is. All right, I see it. All right, this is a poem here by Tila. It's called Night and Day, and it goes like this. Who is this artist in a field of maize, with his mirror's neon light shining so brightly, wearing beautiful yellow tuber on his ear, a lovely marigold, sunflowers and roses brightening up the whole places, a swing on a mahogany tree, with lovely cobalt and sapphire sky, a cute terracotta cottage with smoke coming out from the chimney, definitely someone cooking amber berry soup and powdery pistachio cake, placing it in a stylish copper and zinc plate, a blazing coastline, a waves with its high tide. You see someone fishing with its maggots on a tin, sitting patiently, enjoying a sunset, with moon spiraling down on a dark periwinkle sky, moth flying around turquoise shades, bright and tinted in a dark blue sea, a ship with its funnel harnessed with cold breeze in a night sky. In the poem.
Great read, thank you. For starters, I want to say that I was really excited because when I put the photo up for her, I could tell that she was absolutely thrilled with it, and I love when that happens. She put like 19 little icons or images next to it. She was so excited to see it. So I'm glad to know that it spoke to her. And then the images in here, like with his mirror's neon light shining so brightly, wearing beautiful yellow, or what was that other? A cute terracotta cottage with smoke coming out from the chimney. It's like she pulled the little aspects and painted a picture with her words. And she did a really great job with the images and stuff from the word bank. And I was really surprised that she chose the one with maggots in it because the picture is so beautiful, but it fit. I mean, she did a really great job with it. I think that this is my favorite write of hers yet. And Frank, I do appreciate the read. Will you comment for her as well?
Yeah, I'll be brief here. I thought it was a fantastic piece of sensational imagery and wordplay. A very impressive write, and if I could just go on with a little bit more here. This is, by all means, the one thing that quality that Tila has is when she gets into a flow of storytelling and that, she uses very effectively the word bank and metaphors to disguise, to bring the beauty more onto her poetry. So this is another example of that usage. But it was a wonderful piece there.
Awesome comment. Thank you. And Lady A, will you comment for her as well?
Yes, I thought it was beautiful. I loved her inclusion of all of the colors, the word bank, of course, and I thought it was very well written and smooth. It was seamless, actually, and it just was so beautiful and bright. And I loved, where did I see that? Toward the end, the last, she's got it kind of written in a shape, but starting at the pistachio cake, placing it in a stylish copper and zinc plate, the rhyming was terrific. I thought the cadence was, you did a great job reading it too, Frank, and fishing with its maggots on a tin. And reading maggots in that sense didn't sicken me, so it was kind of like worms being put on a hook, you know. Sitting patiently enjoying a sunset with moon spiraling down on a dark periwinkle sky, a moth flying around turquoise shades, bright and tinted in a dark blue sea, a ship with its funnel harness with cool breeze in a night sky. I just thought it was gorgeous. Very beautiful poem.
Awesome comment. Thank you very much. Okay, so I put crystals on the board, so I will read for my little sis, and then Lady A will read hers for the last poem of the night. So click on crystals. And this poem is called Igniting My Pain by Crystal Hope. And here we go. I thought I was a lavender candle igniting your flame, but you showered and splashed me with icicles of rain. How could I have loved you when you left me in pain? Why was I thinking I was the one to blame? Your eyes grew colder like quartz on a miner's plane. The green emerald gleam was gone and stinging my endless amount of shame. Your footsteps on moist soil became rubber on a four-way lane. The yellow light inside you dwelling in the lost embers of my flame. You were triggering me over and over again, my candle blazing in the wind, and burnt me like a blistering stain. I thought I needed you to ignite my violet flame. You enveloped my fire and left me never the same. End poem. Well, I'm hoping that this is only about the, and not really about her relationship, because she was just so excited. So here's hoping. But wow, this is so sad and deep, but the images are amazing. The use of the words were quite different than almost anybody else's tonight. But with words like the yellow light inside of you dwelling in the lost embers of my flame, you were triggering me over and over again, my candle blazing in the wind and burnt me like a blistering stain. Oh my gosh, that's so gripping and sad and painful. And wow, Crystal gets better every single time she picks up her pen, and this is no exception. And it's always, I mean, I miss her. It would have been really nice to get to hear her read, but when they ask you to stay at work, you do what you got to do. But it was an honor to read for her. And, wow. Had her comment for Crystal.
Yeah, this is just a sadness put in words. I mean, this is, it was beautifully done. The sorrow just oozed out of it. That she, this is to your tonight show, right? It's got the word bank in the...
Yeah.
She wrote to the picture. That's remarkable to get all this from that picture.
I totally agree.
There was something wrong. Yeah, it was like we know it, a light bulb, you know, but it's got a flame inside, which, yeah, there's a deep thought there, real deep. But she did well.
For sure. Great comment. And Frank, will you comment for Crystal?
Yeah, this was, I agree with what just been said by Hatta. It's remarkable that she was able to write, so vividly from just the prompt itself and very few colors that were offered there in that prompt. I thought that the piece was amazing. The anguish and lingering were truly palpable and real. You could sense it from the beginning. So I thought she did a extraordinary job of conveying this poem in that manner.
Awesome comment. And then Lady A, will you please comment for Crystal and then put your poem on, which is the last poem for tonight, and take
okay.
it away.
I thought that this, you know, like I agree with what you said too, Deborah, is that she is, she was great from the first time I read her. And we were all impressed with her being so young and having such depth to her thoughts and her pen. And it just, it does, it keeps getting better and better and with more and more depth. And I do hope that this was just a poem written for the prompt and not a true story as her, you know, sorrow expressed. But she really capped, if it's not based on a true experience, she certainly has captured that kind of sorrow and pain in this piece. And like, you were triggering me over and over again, my candle blazing in the wind and burnt like a blistering stain, you know, and I thought I needed you to ignite my violet flame. You enveloped my fire and left me never the same. like she really captured that sorrow, that breakup, that love loss in a really powerful way. I thought this was terrific.
For sure. All right. Fabulous comment, everyone. And now let's see what you brought for us, sis.
Okay. Let me see. Where am I? I'm hoping this is going to print, paste. Yes. I had another one that was more succinct to, you know, being a fire sign, and it was good, but I think I'll read this one. It's about fire, but it's not to the prompt, and I'm sorry because I wrote to the wrong week. And
okay.
So this is called Out of the Fire. It's in the room there now. Let me know when. It's just a brevity, so it won't take too long. Everybody got it?
Yes.
Out of the fire. She is Vesuvius, molten lava, Venus, amber and scarlet fountain. She is gowned in dormant passion, eons simmering, lust's bastion, rouses, rumbles, rages. She remembers, love surges, fiery inferno tires of her fury, craves cool water for this intensive journey. Phoenix sent into flight, searching through the night for springs of water, quenching fires that rise hotter. Molten ash is all that's left. She is Vesuvius, and no one wept. Like her phoenix, she rose above the flames into man's arenas. There, her skin no longer singed, was milky white, yet she became unhinged. End poem.
You know, I remember this one, and it always blows me away when I listen to it and I get down. I'm like, this sounds familiar. And then I get down and I see what my comment was and realize that it's the same part that gets me as it did the first time. Like your opening here. I didn't, even though she is, I didn't see her as a volcano until you started reading and you brought her as that volcano to life brilliantly. And the fire inside and the phoenix feel of it all the way around, she is Vesuvius. So I think the title's great, the imagery's great, and the brevity's great.
Thank you.
Really, really great. Awesome job. And let me, Hatter, will you comment for Lady A, the queen?
Yeah, I remember commenting on it also last time. This time I got a different feeling. Like, we always look at Pele and Vesuvius and such, as destruction or power of a goddess or something uncontrolled. We don't look at it as maybe what this one brought on to me was maybe that's her weakness, is when she can't hold it in. She protects us constantly, but her weakness is when a volcano erupts type. That's what you feel. It's sort of an opposite of how you look at it as a person, and a metaphor would be a woman scorned almost, would be more of a negative, where if you switched it around, it makes more sense in the human emotional. But I got a little different feel out of it this time.
Thank you. Thanks, Hatter.
Awesome comment. And the last comment of the night goes to Frank.
Oh, I was trying to write, but this was a very beautiful piece here. Just the notion of Vesuvius, it is very sensual as well. I love the way the description here of the molten lava with Venus there, the amber scarlet fountain. There's so much here, this piece here, that exudes passion as well. I think you did an excellent job here. It's one of your best pieces, I would say. Passionate, yet very, very, very eloquent, I would say. I enjoyed this piece tremendously.
Thank you very much.
You know I do. You're welcome.
You want me to call you later and read it to you before you go to sleep?
Hey, watch yourself.
I don't know. we'll see if the molten lava is still there.
goodness. Oh, my I'm going to be quiet now because I might say something I shouldn't.
Uh-oh. Watch yourself. Okay, so let's see. Tomorrow night is Off the Rack with Raconteur at 11 p.m. Eastern, and his topic is Carpe Diem, right where it takes you.
Seize the day. Yeah.
And then what you want to tell us about Wednesday, Lady A?
Well, we have a very exciting show that's been prepared for a long time now, and I'm just going to go into the and it is it's about the history. The mystery of histories, and Sky Darkholm is going to be my cohort in crime for tomorrow. She is the brains behind how this. I'm computer savvy in some ways, mostly word-wise, but she has graphics that can make the shows pop and advertising them, organizing them, and organizing me. Mm-hmm. And so we make a good team that way. So the show that is going to be on is called The Mystery of History, with Lady A and Sky Darkholm. And this week it's going to be about six artists and their famous paintings. And you may write about any of the paintings below, about the artists themselves and the story behind the paintings, and or any of the themes or new inventive stories that inspire within you. So there's a little bit of a blur. There's a name of the poem, or the name of the painting, I mean, the painting itself, and then a little bit of a history of the painter, the artist. So there's lots to choose from, and hopefully people will be inspired to write. And that will be Wednesday at 9 o'clock, I think, Eastern.
No, 8 o'clock Eastern.
8 o'clock Eastern, sorry.
Yes, a special time once a month when Sky's there so that she can stay for the whole show, which we appreciate very much. And I'm looking forward to writing for you, ladies.
I'm
now,
glad.
I think I wrote a piece for you.
Yes, you
I
did on the Lady of Shabbat, I do believe, yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. I'll definitely recite that piece for you.
Great.
All
Thank
right,
you.
Cool. And before I close out, let me remind everyone that A Poetic Slice is live right now with some amazing art images that were prompt. So I'll be over there in a little while. So I want to say thank you to Hatter for always being there. And I want to say thank you to Linda. I hope you heal quickly with as little pain as possible. Thank you, David. Thank you, Wayne. Thank you, Frank. Thank you, Lady A. And we had
Thank
some
you,
amazing
Deb.
Recordings, some awesome recordings from Sky, as well as the one that she recorded of Angel's Peace. We had a great recording from Kay and from Phil the Poet and from Gerald. And we had some great poems from my little sis Crystal and from Tia. So I think I covered everyone. Angel, thank you for sending that poem that Sky recorded, another brilliant piece filled with love and romance. So I'm going to take us out of here with Hatter's beautiful song, since we started with Metallica and we didn't get to hear it today. The Words You Cannot Say, written by Jay Hatter, and music and singing by Shout Even Shy. Love and respect to you all from the bottom of my heart. Here we go.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and dear. I believe it was forever, but just a moment of your time, I cannot stay, cause I want to. Are you telling me you're mine? It always stays inside my head, showing me how to cry, it's living in the shadow.
Think so? Thank you, Hatter.
A little bit. Thank you, Deborah.
Deb. Sorry. Deb.
Bobby. Yeah.
Where can I on the topics board, tonight's show's not there. I wanted to listen to the soundtrack from Phil and Scott.
I delete them as I use them and then delete the board, so it's long gone.
Really?
But don't panic. It's recorded on the show. Just push play after we're done.
Oh,
you
yes,
can hear
okay.
everybody.
Yes, okay.
Sky, Gerald. Okay. Yeah, it's all good. All right, let's get out of here. See you tomorrow at Rap's show. Love and respect, everyone.
Night-night.